God. The reading from the Old Testament this morning is from the prophet Hosea, from the first chapter. If you have a Bible, I invite you to follow along. In the first chapter, beginning with the second verse, hear the word of God. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take to yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry, for the land commits great harlotry by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And on that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." She conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord said to him, "Call her name Lo-Rama, which means not pitied, for I will no more have pity on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. But I will have pity on the house of Judah, and I will deliver them by the Lord their God. I will not deliver them by bow, nor by sword, nor by war, nor by horses, nor by horsemen." When she had weaned, not pitied, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said, "Call his name Lo-Rami." That means, "not my people. For you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the people of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which can neither be measured nor numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' it shall be said to them, 'Sons of the living God.' And the people of Judah and the people of Israel shall be gathered together. And they shall appoint for themselves one head, and they shall go up from the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel." And here ends the reading from the prophet. And the reading from the Gospel is from the Gospel of St. Luke. From the 11th chapter, Jesus has been traveling with his disciples on the way to Jerusalem. And this happened. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves have forgiven everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give you anything because he is his friend, yet because of his asking, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And here ends the reading from the Gospel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You cannot proclaim the word of the Lord without participating in it. You can't bear a word from God and not just be changed by it, but be changed into it. And we see that with such starkness in the life of Hosea, this prophet. A prophet who, like Amos, had been sent to the northern kingdom, the kingdom called Israel, in the very last days that they existed as an independent country. And when the word of the Lord came to Hosea, it spoke of a marriage made in heaven, but not the kind of marriage that you and I would celebrate, huh? It's a very coarse word that is translated here as harlotry. And the word of the Lord that came to Hosea was, go get yourself a woman of harlotry and marry her. Because what Israel is doing is like harlotry to me, says God. And so he did. And it's hard not to stand back and say, why, Lord, would you call someone to that kind of witness and ministry or an action? But Hosea was called to be a prophet, to bear the word of the Lord and to speak it, and to bear it and speak it, well, he almost had to become it. And the commands of God continued. You'll have a son and call his name Jezreel. Kind of drips with irony. Jezreel in the Hebrew means God sows, like God plants. But Jezreel in the time of Hosea and in the northern kingdom was a dark and bloody ground. When bad King Ahab had been killed in battle and Jehu was coming now to take over, and the wicked queen Jezebel was up in a tower in Jezreel, Jehu came in and called up to her servants and they threw her out the window and she died on the streets, and the scripture tells us that the dogs ate her. And then Jehu sent messengers around to the country. It was because Ahab had 70 sons. He said, if you're on my side, then send me the head of that son. And there were 70 heads stacked up in Jezreel. It was a dark and bloody place. And so when God said to Hosea, call your son Jezreel, because I will avenge what has happened to Jezreel. What a name to bear. Perhaps you were named after someone in your family, or you were given a name that expressed the hopes of your parents, maybe Melody. But not a name like that, huh? And then came another child, this one called Lo-Rama, which means Lo is no in Hebrew, not pitied. Because, said God, I won't pity these people anymore. And by now we know that what is happening to Hosea is not that just he is bearing the word of God and is called to speak it and to live it out, but it's the very heart and passion of God that has enveloped him. And what he is setting before the people is God's heart for them, broken and angry, judging. Not to be pitied anymore will be these people by me. If that was not enough, comes now the third child. It's another low name. Not my people. Because, says God, now including Hosea when he speaks to him, you are not my people, and I am not your God. Because you know when you're the prophet, you don't stand over against the people to whom God sends you. You stand with them. And Hosea was called now to deliver this word. We are no longer pitied. We are bearing the judgment of God. We are no longer God's people. And he is not our God. as we read these words now from such great distance. We can kind of slide together in history all those years when they certainly were the people of God, led out of slavery in Egypt, through the wilderness, into the promised land, given a kingdom. But the testimony of the prophets, and especially Hosea, is that they threw it away. They threw it away by consuming those who were poor. They threw it away by turning away from God. That's that harsh word that God uses when he says, take a wife of harlotry. It wasn't just women who were that way. It was the people who had once been God's people were that way towards God. And so if Hosea, who was called to bear the word of God and live it out before them, was bearing it, he was bearing it to a people who would have nothing of the word of God or of the heart of God or of the way of God. And yet at the end of this harsh, dire, dark, hopeless word, we hear once again of Jezreel. It's a little jarring when through the prophet comes this word that, but the day will come when Israel, who is not my people, will be joined again to Judah, who will soon also be not my people and judged. They'll be joined together in one place and they'll have one head. And that great will be the rejoicing of Jezreel. And so the grain of hope, if you can call it that, at the end of Hosea's word, is that the meaning of Jezreel, that God sows, that God plants, that in the end that will not be utterly extinguished by the judgment of God, by the turning of God's people, by their rejection of God's will, by their not wanting to hear any more words of God. That in spite of the rebellion, in spite of the wickedness, in spite of all that, that what God has planted will flourish. And that one day, that kingdom that God sought to establish through the children of Israel will be in full flower. Now, many in Israel live by that hope because the judgment that Hosea talked about, the judgment that Amos talked about, it fell. It fell like an axe. And there was nothing left to which people could look and say, there is hope. Samaria fell. Foreign gods were brought in. Foreign troops, foreign governors. The people were taken away. It was as though you had scrubbed it. Through the centuries, people looked, sometimes with hope and sometimes with not much, for that time when this word of hope might come again. Some people thought that John the Baptist was that one. You remember how people wondered about John the Baptist. Is he Elijah? Is he the Messiah? No, he said, I'm just preparing the way. And then came Jesus. And people wondered about him as well. Both Jesus and John attracted great crowds. You know, John the Baptist was quite the fiery preacher who cut nobody any slack at all. That seemed not to be a hindrance. People came to him and lived by his word. And crowds followed Jesus. The story we have this morning is of one day as they were, the group of Jesus followers were going along. One of his disciples saw Jesus praying. And when he was done, he wanted to ask this question for all of us. Lord, teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples to pray. Now, for those who are following a great teacher, a spiritual teacher, they live by the words and they learn sermons that have been spoken. And if they taught something like the Beatitudes, they made them part of their heart lesson. But the most intimate thing that a teacher could give you was to teach you how to pray. So, Lord, teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples. Because when you ask the teacher, or when you ask somebody, how do you pray? How would you teach me to pray? You're asking them to open their heart to you. Huh? Lord, teach us to pray. And so Jesus said, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You ask for daily bread. You ask for forgiveness. Because, Father, we have already forgiven everyone who is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation. And we know this to be a common teaching of Jesus, common in the sense that he often taught this. Matthew's gospel gives us a time when Jesus taught it, and it was a bit longer when he taught it that time, but the framework and the skeleton was the same. By the year 100, the early church had formed a way of praying it that is very familiar to us, and they had added, for thine is the kingdom and the power at the end. But none of the things that made it the Lord's Prayer, the way we have it memorized and can recite without thinking, added or took away from that stark framework that Jesus offered. In a sense, the prayer begins and ends when you say, Father. You know, we've learned in our time that it's sometimes awkward to assume things about family structure, how other people live, what their families are like, what their experience was like growing up. We all have to be very careful. God was not careful with Hosea. Huh? He told him, you have a family like this in front of people because this is what my heart is like. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father. In the history of Jewish teaching, that was something you didn't do. You might dare to say, Our Father, like the Psalms sometimes say, but to call God Father was somewhere between almost blasphemous to certainly disrespectful to who would want to put themselves in that closer relationship. I don't know what your dad or father was like, but when Jesus says, call God, and when you pray, say, Father, you have just placed yourself as the child of God, acknowledging, Father. And from that first word, you are no longer yourself. You belong. So his teaching on the Lord's Prayer was not a general teaching on prayer. It's not something you could stand back from and analyze, because if you're going to pray it, the first word you say is to step out of yourself, out of your world of control, out of yourself, out of your world of me defining the meanings, and standing now and saying, Father, holy be your name. As though anything I could do could make God's name any holier, the teaching of Jesus was entirely to you and to me. Father, in my own life and heart, may your name be holy. And your kingdom come. You know, from the earliest days of the church, that phrase, your kingdom come, well, it wasn't that they smiled when they said it. They just said, only a saint could pray that. For God's kingdom to come. Because you pray for God's kingdom to come in your own life, not just in the world around us. So you've set yourself in this relationship to God where now you are the child and you are saying, your kingdom come, may your name be holy in my life. And then you start your petitions. Hmm. Thy kingdom come. Yeah. I don't know which one is the harder. They all reveal our brokenness and our need. You ask for bread, daily bread. It's an odd word. It certainly means the bread that we eat today. It has the sense of being tomorrow's bread, the bread that God provides day by day. And for Jews, that was manna in the wilderness. And so, give us this day our daily bread is to feed us the way you fed your children in the wilderness. Feed us the way you're going to feed us when your kingdom comes. It points to the world that is coming, not just the hunger that is today. Feed us for the sake of what you are bringing. Feed us for the sake of what you have planted, like Jezreel. To ask for forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. But which one of us can truly pray this prayer? And forgive us, because I, David Dobler, have already forgiven everyone who is indebted to me. It's not so. Not for any of us. And lead us not into a time of testing. Yeah, I don't need any more of those than I bring on myself. That's how you should pray, said Jesus. Father, holy be your name in my life, in my heart. Your kingdom come in my heart, my life, the world around. Feed us the way you fed Israel in the wilderness, and feed us for the sake of your kingdom that's coming. Yeah. Forgive us. Because just like you, we have already forgiven everyone who's indebted to us. You've got to say this with abandon. Jesus said, because the Father to whom we pray is really not like any of the fathers that we know who we just make bigger and better. This is a Father who really does hear, who really does give. Because if you ask, you will receive. But since we've called on God as Father, we receive according to God's wisdom and God's assessment of what we need and God's purposes. So yes, if you ask, you will receive according to God's purposes, not according to my laundry list. Knock. It'll be open to you. It may not be the way that I wanted, but it will be the path that God has prepared for me. Seek, and you'll find. For most of us, it's not what we're looking for when we head out. It's what God has set before us, what God has purposed for us, whether it was at Youth Triennium, or in the work that we do, or the people we meet. Seek, and you will find. And if you've called God Father, what you'll find is what He has prepared for you for the sake of the kingdom. Because though it may be harsh and very difficult to accept and understand the way God called and used Hosea, to pray this prayer that we so lightly call the Our Father is for ourselves to step into that same relationship. Because if I'm going to pray by saying Father, I don't get to set the agenda anymore. If I'm going to call God Father, it's no longer my agenda, but God's purposes. If you and I are going to say the Our Father together, then we are hanging on to that last line of Hosea's prophecy where once again we hear about Jezreel. Because you and I have known already in our lives too much about Jezreel, the dark and bloody ground. But there is that promise that God has planted. that God has sown the seed, that the kingdom of heaven is coming in power. And when we say, Father, thy kingdom come, we are trusting ourselves into that day and into that kingdom. And that is good news. Amen? Let's pray together. Oh, Holy God, for your gifts to us, we thank you. For the gift of life, for the gift of your Son, Jesus, for the gift of the hope that we have in him, for the gift of your promises, for the gift of your saints, your prophets, for the gift of brothers and sisters in Christ, for all these things we thank you. As we gather for prayer and call you Father, we pray that as you draw us into your wider family, as you draw us into the kingdom of heaven, that you would change us so that we would leave behind those things that are not of you. We pray that as we ask for your name to be holy in us, that your Spirit would be cleansing and changing us so that all that we would have inside is what is honoring to you. We pray that when we ask for daily bread, that we would be trusting our lives and our tomorrows into your care and into your purposes. And we pray that as Christ Jesus has taught us to pray, that Christ Jesus would also teach us to walk and to talk. So that having prayed this prayer and committed ourselves into your care, that we would serve you in this world as witnesses, as hands, as joyful Christians. So we offer you these prayers and our lives in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.